إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد، we're going to continue reading the explanation of chapter 19 from كتاب التوحيد. From الملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد of our noble شيخ الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى. Then the Sheikh al-Imam Muhammad al-Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala bring the third or the fourth proof in this chapter. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِيَّاكُمُ الْغُلُوُ فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمُ الْغُلُوُ. Then he brought the fourth proof in this chapter. بَابُ ما جاء أن سبب كفر بني آدم وتركهم دينهم هو الغلو في الصالحين. The excessive dogma in the righteous persons is the root cause of infidelity of mankind and is deviation from the true religion. And he mentioned the hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, beware of ghulu, going to extreme, an exaggeration, and that's what caused the people to exaggerate. Beware of exaggeration. Your predecessors perished on account of their exaggeration and going to extreme. Rawi al-Hadith, قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله, هذا الحديث ذكره المصنف رحمه الله دون ذكر راويه. وقد رواه الإمام أحمد والترمذي وابن ماجه من حديث ابن عباس. First of all, the Sheikh mentioned that Sheikh الإسلام الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى mentioned this hadith without mentioning the Sahabi who narrated this hadith. So he collected it. He mentioned this hadith without mentioning the narrator. And the Sheikh said this hadith is collected by Imam Ahmad, al-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, from the hadith of Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu. Likewise, the hadith is collected by Imam al-Hakim, who declared it sound, authentic, and al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, agreed with him. Ma'na al-Hadith. But before that, this term, aghulu, which is a key word in this hadith, and in this chapter, by the way, aghulu huwa mujawazatul had. Ghulu, ghain lam waw, is when a person go to extreme. They go overboard. Ma'na al-hadith ijmalan. The Sheikh will read to you now the general meaning of this hadith. يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله يحذر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمته من الزيادة في الدين على الحد المشروع وهو عام في جميع أنواع الغلو في الاعتقادات والأعمال. In this hadith is a warning from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم for his ummah, warning them against adding anything to the deen, putting forward any extra, going overboard that which Allah has prescribed for us. The Shaykh says, and this warning in general, and includes all types of ghulu, especially in acts of belief and also in actions. ومن ذلك الغلو في تعظيم الصالحين مما يكون سببا في عبادتهم. And from this, and that which is related to this chapter and this book, the book of Tawheed, certain Muslims, they go overboard. They fall into this ghulu, which is go overboard and not stopping where they're supposed to stop. And they go overboard and fall into ghulu as related to respecting the righteous people, which lead them to worship them in the end. As we learned from the previous chapters, how these righteous people, who when they were alive, they were good servants of Allah. None of them ever called that he should be worshipped when he died. None of them. They were righteous. They were upon Tawheed. They were obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They called to Tawheed and warned against shirk. But why, after their death, certain people worship them? This is the problem. And that's what this chapter is about. Ghulu. Going too far. And you love a person, you respect them for who they are, but you never raise them above the status that Allah put them in. Even if that person is the best of mankind, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why, if you remember, the hadith right before this one was about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, when he said, لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى ابن مريم إنما أنا عبد فقولوا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Do not exaggerate in praise of me just as the Christians exaggerated in the praise of Isa, son of Maryam. I am but a slave, so call me Allah's slave and his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. There are people now that they ascribe to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم divine attributes and other things, walayadu billah, which the Prophet ﷺ is free from that. So those who go to extreme as related to their respect that they show for the righteous people, that lead them, walayadu billah, to end up worshipping those righteous people. ثم علل النهي عن الغلو بأنه هو السبب في هلاك الأمم السابقة وذلك يقتضي مجانبة هديهم في هذا إبعادا عن الوقوع فيما هلكوا به لأن المشارك لهم في بعض هديهم يخاف عليه من الهلاك مثلهم. And in this hadith, after the Prophet ﷺ warned his ummah against ghulu and he mentioned the Prophet ﷺ the reason why, that is because this is the same thing that has destroyed the previous nations. The previous nation, they were destroyed because of this ghulu. And that happened, it happened in all levels. If you ask why certain people, sometimes the ulama, they warn against some famous students of knowledge or so-called scholar to so many people, and the ulama, they mention that person, or some da'i here or there, and the ulama, they refute that person, whether he be famous all over the world or a da'i somewhere, whether he's in Africa or America or Europe or Asia. And you find certain people pay no mind to what the ulama says. Yes. And we experience this and we witness it in more than one occasion. Why? Because of this ghulu. People love that person, attach themselves, and usually because of the color or because of the countryman. Their countryman or whatever the case. And we heard some even statement, that's one of us. Whenever one of us try to make it up, you find the ulama pulling the ladder and the knee, and subhanAllah, their feet This is the deen of Allah, man. See, the deen of, see, that's ghulu. But if a person do it with moderation, like, look, I'm with this brother, I'm loving him for the haqq he's upon, not for his color, not because we go way back, not because it's for my tribe, of my country, no. I'm loving him and I'm listening to him, and alhamdulillah, because he's upon the haqq. You make that, that's your scale. And you make dua for him, you know, this, you make dua for that da'i, may Allah preserve him, may Allah protect him, may Allah keep him firm upon the deen, may Allah increase him in knowledge. But then if that da'i, whoever it may be, Allah change his heart, what are you going to do? Go with him? You don't ride any wave. No, you don't jump on any bus that comes to your stop. No, you're waiting for your right bus. Now you're waiting for your right bus to come. So likewise, people, they fall because this shakhsiyya, they call it shakhsiyya. They fall into personalities. That's my man. If he go down, I'm down with him. No, you don't go down. Stand up. Stand tall, inshallah ta'ala, upon the haqq, not upon tribalism, hizbiyya. And that's a lot of people, they suffering from this. May Allah cure them. And may Allah protect us. And this with anybody, not just with a da'i, with anybody. Doesn't matter who that person, who he may be. If that person is upon the haqq, we love them, we respect them, we make dua for them, alhamdulillah. But if these people, because the hearts are between the fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He turns them as he will. That's why some people, they can't understand this. They're like, how come, Zakhi? That's my sheikh. That's my man. SubhanAllah, after all these years, now we're not going to take from him. Yes, don't take from him, because you're supposed to take the haqq, not anything. All right, if you have this nice restaurant cooking all this beautiful breakfast, and you were going there for years, and you're enjoying it, and every month they come up with something, you know, novelties and something new, and they're attaching you to them. But then after all this year, they switch. Halal food ain't working. They switch back to pork and all that stuff. So you go? You still go? Yes, that's like an ounce. It's not going to hurt. No. You're like, what is it now? What is the menu? What's this here? No, I can't eat here anymore. That's it. You can't eat there, because it's not for you. Likewise, if a person got problems, troubles, the ulama, not like anybody is talking about this. The scholars, they say, you find some layman, say, I don't know, the sheikh has the right to say whatever, he's free to choose his opinion. Allahu Akbar. But the same person, when he go to a Jew doctor, and that Jew doctor prescribed for them prescription, they run to CVS. Right or wrong? No questions asked. But when Sheikh Rabia says, Sheikh Fawzan says, Sheikh Ubaid says, oh, wait a minute. Maybe they don't know the conditions. Oh, they don't live here with us. Yeah, you know what? We're going to give our brother another chance. Give yourself a chance first before you give it to the brother. And follow the haqq, and follow the truth. This ghulu, as the Shaykh says, is subhanAllah, is found in many things, man. In the dunya too. We love our properties and our wealth, because Allah tells us. وَيُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا Allah tells us in the Quran, mankind, they love their wealth and their property very much. But don't love it that become your main objective in this life. Because it's going to turn you away from your responsibilities. Now you like your wealth because you know the importance. When you have money, alhamdulillah, you can pay your bills, you can buy stuff. And you know those who don't have it, as you're driving in your nice car, in the heat, inside, and it's like minus 20 out there. And then you like see people sleeping in a stop place, bus stops, and homeless, and people walking, and you're driving, and the like. And you thank Allah for that. And this is why you appreciate what Allah has given you, not to be in your heart. not to be in your heart and keep you away and, oh yeah, I make 1,000 this week, I'm going to make sure, I'm going to spend more time to make another 1,000, more time at the expense of what? Not coming in the masjid, neglecting your obligations as a servant of Allah, neglecting your obligations as a husband if you're married, neglecting your obligations as a father if you have children, neglecting your obligation as a son if your parents still alive. See? Just going to go to more work, more work. What about the real work you were created for? Aina. Because of ghulu. People, they go to extreme in loving something, and they were like, man, I got to get it in any way. Some people, they even fall into the haram. So Allah, as-salamu al-afiyah. So the Shaykh, he mentioned to us, says, since the Prophet mentioned the reason why he's warning us against this ghulu. Because this is what has destroyed, you know, this has destroyed the previous nations. And we know what this word means, destroyed. You know? And we don't want our things and our properties to be destroyed. Not along ourselves be destroyed. May Allah protect us. Anything that may destroy your property, you stay away from it. Right or wrong? If you park somewhere and they told you, look, don't park here, man. They steal cars in this parking lot. What do you do? I don't care. I want my car to be stolen. No, it's a foolish decision. Person says, oh, thank you. And they're going to go find another parking lot that is safe. The Prophet ﷺ is warning us against this since it destroys others so that we can be aware of it. But how are we going to save ourselves from this? Not falling into that which the previous nation fell into by not following their guidance. This is a must that we should not follow their footsteps. And that's what's going to save us from being destroyed as they were. The Shaykh says, because no doubt the one who shares and imitate the previous nations in that which they fall into and follow their footsteps and their guidance, that person will be destroyed, wal'iyadu billah. And it's that these people, they should be afraid, actually, the Shaykh says, that which happened to the previous nations will befall him as well. Munasabatul hadith lilbab. Now the Shaykh, he mentioned the relevance of this hadith into this chapter. Another reason, in another way, why Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, has chosen this hadith as a proof from the many, many hundreds of and thousands of other hadith to be proved in this chapter. قال لأن فيه النهي عن الغلو مطلقا وبيان أنه سبب للهلاك في الدنيا والآخرة فيدخل فيه النهي عن الغلو في الصالحين من باب الأولى لأنه سبب للشرك. He says, because this hadith contains a prohibition that we are prohibited from ghulu, period, in anything. You have to be moderate. You have to always follow the model, the middle course. Don't go too far to the right, too far to the left. You want to stay in a middle lane. And that's true even when we're driving, man. If you're driving in a highway, have three lanes. All right? 1, 2, 3. And then you have no shoulders. To the right, nor to the left. But rather what you have. At 3,000 feet. You know, what do you call it?
A ditch or cliff.
On your right. And you have 3,000 feet deep sea on your left. So where are you going to be? What is the safest lane to drive in? I'm asking. The middle. You may be riding on the right. If you make one bad move to the right, you're in a ditch. You stay in the middle. and you keep your eyes open, right or wrong, and you be more serious. Likewise, ikhwan, you gotta keep our eyes open. You gotta be serious about learning this deen. Because if you shift slightly to the right, you find the ahzab and the hizbis and this calling you and beautifying things for you and shaitan making things beautiful. And you go to the left, they despair you. See, some people, they go overboard, not because they're not doing anything. No, they're doing a lot of actions of worship. A lot. And they think they're doing good. No. Is it someone who pray Fajr 4 rakat better than us? Better than the one who pray 2? Logically, if you look at it from the way that person, he made more ruku, right or wrong? Read more Quran, right or wrong? Huh? And make more sujood. But still he's wrong. Because the same way, and since somebody says, look, man, alhamdulillah, Allah is merciful, praying 2 or 1, I'm just going to pray 1 today. So what's the problem? Allah is merciful, akhi. I show up. Alhamdulillah, I'm praying. It's not like somebody who's not praying. See? Far to the right, far to the left. Those who add and those who take away. No. We stick to the texts. We stick to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do what we are commanded, and we don't be deceived by the exaggeration and the additions of certain people who say Allah, 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 and you think, wow, I want to be like him. No, ask Allah to cure him. You don't want to be like those people who add into the deen and go to extreme, wal'iyadu billah. You just have to do it right. Same way, when you get your coffee and you put some sugar. Right or wrong? If you put a lot of sugar, you can drink it. With no sugar, certain people still can drink it. Right? So you have to put the right amount of sugar. Same thing in salt. Even though salt and sugar is not good for you. No good. Try to cut down. Likewise in the deen of Allah. You want to learn in any matter, which is any matter, in aqidah, in ibadat, you want to learn what is you commanded to do, how to do it according to the what Allah has legislated, and that's what you do. Don't add anything, and if you fall short and negligent, mashallah, repent to Allah, ask Allah forgiveness, and say, subhanAllah, man, I should have done better. And I shouldn't stick to it. MashaAllah. And ask Allah, be sincere. And Allah may accept your tawbah, alhamdulillah. So the Shaykh, he says, this chapter, this hadith, actually, it is chosen because it contains prohibition against ghulu, period. And also this hadith shows us that the ghulu leads to destruction in this life and in the hereafter. And he includes prohibition against going to extreme as related to the righteous people. Why? Because it leads to shirk wal'iyadu billah. That's why people, they worship their tombs and their graves, because they go to extreme in loving them. And the way they think about them, no, these are not regular people. These are better, they are above us, and mashallah, that's why they take them as intermediaries between them and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ما يستفاد من الحديث number 1 النهي عن الغلو وبيان سوء عاقبته. It is strictly forbidden. Ghulu is prohibited. And likewise, this hadith shows us the evil consequences of it. Number 2 الاعتبار بمن سبقنا من الأمم لتجنب ما وقعوا فيه من الأخطاء. We should take and draw lessons and learn from the mistakes of the people who preceded us to avoid falling into that which they fall into from mistakes. Number 3, حرصه صلى الله عليه وسلم على نجاة أمته من الشرك ووسائله وبعدهم عنه. Prophet ﷺ was very concerned to protect his ummah from falling into shirk and following any means that may lead to it. And the Prophet ﷺ was sincere for his ummah so that they can stay far away from shirk and whatever leads to it. Number 4, al-hathu ala al-i'tidal fi al-ibadah wa ghayriha bayna janibay al-ifrati wa al-tafrit. This hadith, along with many other texts in the Quran and Sunnah, incite us to follow the path of moderation, that is moderate, in ibadah and other than it. And that middle course is between excessiveness and negligence. That's moderation. Moderation is between excessiveness, to go too far, or negligence. Mean we just have to do it the right way that we are commanded. We don't add and we don't take anything from it. Number 5, أن الغلو في الصالحين سبب للوقوع في الشرك. Going to extreme as related to the righteous people leads to shirk, والعياذ بالله. Leads to shirk. Number 6, شدة خوفه صلى الله عليه وسلم من الشرك والتحذير عنه. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was extremely afraid of shirk. That's why he warns against it many times. The last proof in this chapter, alhamdulillah, it's very small, alhamdulillah. ولمسلم عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال هلك المتنطعون قالها ثلاثا. The last proof in this chapter that Sheikh Al-Imam Al-Mujaddid Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى brought, that in Sahih Muslim, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, who reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هَلَكَ الْمُتَنَطِّعُونَ, destroyed are those who are extreme in religion. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this 3 times, هَلَكَ الْمُتَنَطِّعُونَ, هَلَكَ الْمُتَنَطِّعُونَ, هَلَكَ الْمُتَنَطِّعُونَ, destroyed are those who are extreme in religion. من هم المتنطعون؟ يقول الشيخ الفوزان حفظه الله هم المتعمقون في الشيء من كلام وعبادة وغيرها. They are those people who always try to go deep in everything. Statements, actions of worship and the like. Person, once he knows what is commanded to do it. That's it. What about this? Wait a minute. If you look at it that way, and this, and they sit there and talk instead to act. And this is the Sheikh, he says, in statements too, not just in acts of worship, even in statements. You find a person, they want to do a job, all right, let's clean this place. What does it take to clean a place? Huh? Get the tools needed to clean, right? If it's snow, what you need? Shovels, right? If it's dirt, what you need? All right, now people are going to sit there, oh, wait a minute, why if we do it this way, they bring in many suggestions, many plans, not needed. And people, they just do that because they don't want to do the work. Usually, people don't want to work. They want to slow those who want to do work, they want to slow them down. Wait a minute, are we going to get breakfast after this? You always get breakfast. So why you want to ask about breakfast today? So, تعمق, to go to extreme in anything. المعنى الإجمالي للحديث يوضح النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن التعمق في الأشياء والغلو فيها يكون سبب للهلاك ومراده صلى الله عليه وسلم النهي عن ذلك. The general meaning of this hadith, the Sheikh, he says, the Prophet ﷺ make it clear for us that going extreme in anything, and because this and ghulu, they go together, the Shaykh says, and having ghulu in any matter you're about to do, he says, it becomes the reason for destruction, for ruin and destruction. And he says, the Prophet ﷺ, when he mentioned this, when he says that those who mutanatti'un, those who go to extreme, are destroyed, the intent, he said that that's what we should understand from the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, is not, he's not just telling us that these people are destroyed. No, he said what he's telling us, be aware of this. Don't be destroyed as they are destroyed. A warning. Munasabatul hadith lilbab. And this is very important, because sometimes when you read a hadith from the apparent wordings, people, they will have some understanding. But those that Allah give them insight and give them understanding and raise them levels, they can tell you much about it. Like they say, Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, hadith, small hadith. Hadith have a couple of words. He brought like more than 200 benefits from it. And another example also is in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, because Umar, he used to have a shura. Umar al-Khattab, the best of this ummah after Abu Bakr, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the best of the people actually, except for the prophets and the messengers. Umar radiallahu anhu, he was the Khalifa, and he has a shura, a group of people from the Sahaba. Whenever the Prophet ﷺ wanted something, whenever Umar radiallahu anhu had some major decision to make, he will mention it to this shura. And the shura is in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran said to the Prophet ﷺ, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, consult them. Present the affair, the matter to them, and listen to what they're going to say. And the Prophet ﷺ, he used to listen to the companions. His wives too, when they suggest something, the Prophet ﷺ, he will act upon it. He goes with the truth, with the haqq. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to bring matters of a great importance to this shura. But keep in mind, the ulama, they says, this doesn't mean that they share with him in his hukum. It's not like that they have a part of ruling. No, he's the ruler, he's the leader, he's the khalifa. But then these people, because of they have a right, they have knowledge, they have hikmah, they have wisdom, he presents to them these matters. Not like the shuras in our times and this, the shura of a masjid, tell the imam what to do. No. Tell him what he speak about on what topics and no. Don't talk about riba in Jumu'ah, okay? You want to get your paycheck? No. This is not the shura. The shura are righteous people. They have wisdom. They have knowledge. That the person will go to them and say, listen, I already thought about this, but mashallah, you my brothers, you have hikmah, you have wisdom, you have knowledge too. What do you think? And Allah may put tawfiq and success on some of them statements. Okay? Anyway, but Umar radiallahu anhu used to allow Abdullah ibn Abbas, who was a young man, who was a young, very young, used to allow him to attend those gatherings. And though he's the only young man, everybody is from Badr, the Sahaba that participated in the Battle of Badr. And they say that the Sahaba, they felt away why this young man is with us, and we have young men too. So when Umar heard about that, radiallahu anhu, he wants to make sure for them that he's not allowing Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, for no other reason, just because he's the cousin of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, because of his knowledge, even though he's young. So he gathered them, all of them, and Ibn Abbas was there, and he told them, what do you understand? What's your understanding from the surah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. They say, we understand from it that when the victory of Allah is granted by the conquest of Mecca, and the people enter into Islam, in numbers, thank your Lord by glorifying Him and praising Him. And that's word for word, that's what the surah says. Okay? He said that some of them said this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling His Prophet ﷺ to be grateful and to thank Him and glorify Him for giving you this victory and the like. And some others, they were quiet. They were quiet, they said, we're quiet. He said, Ibn Abbas, you agree with them? He says, no. These are the Sahaba from Badr. He says, no, I don't agree with them. And he's a young man. He says, what do you say? He says, in this ayah, actually, فيها نعي للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. By revealing this surah to the Prophet ﷺ, he's telling him that's it. You're about to die. You're about to die. You have finished that which you were sent to do. Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, I don't know any other explanation than this one. That's it. Me too. I'm with you on this. That shows, like here, this hadith. Look, this hadith says, Halakal mutanatti'un. Those who are mutanatti'un, they destroyed. But the Shaykh, he says, but what is the Prophet ﷺ want by this statement? To warn us against this, to be destroyed. ويدخل في ذلك أي مناسبة الحديث للباب أن التنطع من الغلو المنهي عنه ويدخل في ذلك التنطع في تعظيم الصالحين إلى الحد الذي يفضي إلى الشرك. تنطع is from غلو that is prohibited. See how they have strong connection? تنطع, to go to extreme in the religion, is from that غلو that is prohibited. And of course, includes going to extreme in venerating and respecting the righteous people in a manner that leads to worshiping them, that leads to shirk. ما يستفاد من الحديث, what is some of the benefits of this hadith? Number one, الحث على اجتناب التنطع في كل شيء لا سيما العبادات وتقدير الصالحين. This hadith incites us to avoid and stay away from تنطع, going to extreme in everything. Everything we're about to do, we should make sure that we stay away from extreme, being extremists, and go to extreme in this. Be moderate. Go to extreme. Some people, they go extreme and keep talking all day. People, they were bored. I don't want to be with that man anymore. People are going to extreme, don't talk, nothing. Don't smile. It's like, man, I can't be with that friend. So you got to be in moderation. He said, the Sheikh, he says, especially in acts of worship. You got to avoid tanattu, and also in the way that you deal with the righteous people. Righteous people, you love them for what they are upon, the haq, but you don't go overboard that you worship them and think that they're going to help you out and the like. Number two, al-hathu ala al-i'tidali fi kulli shay. Likewise, this hadith, from the benefits of it, that we should be moderate in everything. Use moderation. We learn from it to use moderation in everything. Number three, شِدَّةُ حِرْصِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم على نجاة أمته واجتهاده في الإبلاغ صلى الله عليه وسلم. That the Prophet ﷺ was diligent and concerned so that this ummah will be saved and protected. And that the Prophet ﷺ used to, and he was very sincere in conveying to them all means that lead this ummah for safety and protection. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. And keep us firm upon the deen of Allah. Ameen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep us away from the two extremes, excessiveness and negligence. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us moderation. And everything we do, especially in ibadat. وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We finish that chapter, alhamdulillah.